Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy joins us again on WGN Radio. He represents the 8th District out of Schaumburg, the Democrat from the Chicago area. Congressman, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning, John.
Can you talk to me about the oversight hearings?
Yeah, so probably some of your listeners were watching last week. Basically, we brought the Postmaster General before us. His name is Louis DeJoy. As well as the chair of the Board of Governors. You could say the chair of the board of the USPS. His name is Mike Duncan. And, you know, essentially the reason for the hearings was just widespread negative impacts on service standards and delays in the mail due to operational changes at the USPS. So we're trying to get to the bottom of that.
What was your takeaway from that, Congressman?
Well, gosh, two takeaways. One, I think that the leadership of the USPS is incredibly enmeshed in politics and party politics. Just as an example, I didn't know this before I did the research before my questioning. The chair of the board, Mike Duncan, happens to also be serving currently on the boards of two super PACs, Republican super PACs, That's a problem. I don't think that they should be enmeshed in politics, whether it's Democrats or Republicans. But the second big takeaway that I had was I think that the Postmaster General has a wrong approach to what it means to do the job properly, according to my constituents. He thinks that running a truck on time per a schedule, even when the truck doesn't have mail in it, is better than making sure that someone's mail arrives on time. And that latter assumption is what my constituents think of when they think of, you know, good service standards. And so that kind of approach, I think, is causing a lot of havoc at the USPS right now.
I saw Mr. DeJoy on TV just briefly. You were there. But, for instance, when he was asked if they're going to cut the hours of staff, he said that's been reported, but we're not going to do that. And he said that they're always taking mailboxes down. They're not taking more mailboxes down to slow the vote. Were you satisfied with those answers?
I think I'm glad. I welcome kind of the suspension in any further operational changes, like removing mailboxes or cutting people's hours. I think the challenge, John, which we're trying to grapple with, is that he's not willing to reverse changes and restore delivery standards. So just as an example, hundreds of mail sorting machines have been removed from facilities around the country. He's not willing to put them back, even though we know there's going to be kind of a historic surge in mail-in balloting with the fall elections coming up and the pandemic, causing people to opt for mail-in voting.
On average, I'm just reading from a story in the USA Today, yesterday, it said from 2010 to 2019, so over a span of about 10 years, the Postal Service reports it removed 3,258 drop boxes per year because people just don't use the mail as much as they used to. So the idea that they're pulling mailboxes down and the local TV stations run out and show that looks heavy-handed, but it's actually business as usual.
I think that right now, unfortunately, during the pandemic, when we're seeing people rely on the mail more than ever, and with the upcoming elections, I think maybe business as usual may not be the answer in some cases. Yes, you know, where a mailbox isn't being used, of course, people, I don't think, object to having that removed or placed somewhere else. But when you take wholesale hundreds of these mail sorting machines or not reversing the changes that were made, I think, or reversing the damage that was done, I think that's where people have a problem. let me just give you one quick anecdote. I've had hundreds, actually almost 2,000 calls and emails and texts about this particular issue, delays in the mail. We had a veteran call in, basically, he just had an organ transplant, and he was calling because he was asking us, where are my post-operative medications? It's a life and death matter, especially for a lot of our veterans, because they receive all of their medication through the mail if they get it through the VA. And that's why the stakes are so high right now, John.
There's a story on Channel 2 I was watching last night, and they found a lady who had a problem with the mail, and so now she is instead delivering the check to somebody in person because a check that was in the mail, somebody got a hold of it, and they erased the name and put in a different name and changed the amount. And so you had a case of mail fraud. And I think every day you could probably find a story like that. But by and vast large, I think the mail service works pretty well. I think for them to find that lady and do that story last night sort of fans the flames of people's lack of confidence in the Postal Service or the upcoming vote, when in fact the Postal Service does a pretty good job and that they will largely be able to handle the mail-in votes. Maybe I'm thinking with my heart there, but I think that story made me think you could always find somebody who's unhappy with the mail. Most of us are pretty happy with the USPS.
I think you're right about that. The Pew Research Center just did a poll on which government agencies you trust the most, and I couldn't believe it when I saw it, but it's true. 91% of respondents had a favorable view of the Postal Service, and I think that it goes to what you're saying, which is that people are generally happy. I think that's why when there are operational changes that cause the mail to be so delayed for so many people, it's not just sporadic. We've had, as I said, thousands of people contact me, and I'm sure my colleagues too. It makes them extremely upset, especially with an election year coming up.
So what are you going to do? Does Congress have any pull on this thing? If you don't like how the Postal Service is maybe treating mail delivery on the eve of the election, what can Congress do about that?
Well, first of all, I think the public pressure in and of itself, after we kind of shined a light on the problems, caused the Postmaster General to cease the operational changes, further operational changes. So the real question is, how do we reverse the damage that's been done? And I think it's going to, and also how do you make sure that the USPS stays financially okay this year? We passed legislation last Saturday. We went in for a special Saturday session. 30 Republicans joined us, John, in legislation that the White House opposes. That almost never happens, by the way.
Say that again?
30 Republicans joined Democrats in passing legislation to provide funding and to say that the service standards have to return to pre-pandemic levels. In other words, to reverse some of the changes or the damage that was done.
Right.
And I think there's great pressure on both sides, everybody, quite frankly, to do something as part of the business that we're going to be taking up in September when we go back in, a week and a half.
September. I mean, so we'll wait a week and a half at least for movement on a stimulus or an unemployment supplement then. Congressman, let me pause for 2 minutes. I'll do a commercial and just talk to me about that. That is as much on people's minds as I think the vote. Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy is in town. Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy is on a phone line. He's back in town heading back to D.C., he reminded us, in about a week and a half. Congressman, talk to me a little bit about then what will the agenda be for the likes of you when you get out there. Will the stimulus or a supplement be the first thing to do?
That's my desire. I think that most people are going to want to focus on that. And then there are other matters that have to be dealt with, such as making sure that we pay all the bills by the end of the fiscal year, which is September 30th. And so essentially what we normally do, if everything is kind of running on time, you set a budget and appropriations for the following fiscal year, so starting October 1. Of course, now we're approaching an election. So sometimes what happens is they put it on what's called a continuing resolution. So they say, okay, well, let's just keep everything the same until after the election and then take it up in December.
So it's September 1st, and the president's payroll tax deferral begins today, correct?
That's right, yeah. It was announced last Friday.
It's not really getting a lot of attention, but so we're going to see less money coming out of our paychecks.
For Social Security.
Yeah, I think like 6.2%, but we're going to have to pay it back after the first of the year.
So I don't know what your employer has decided, but it's up to each employer to decide how they want to proceed. If an employer decides that they want to take advantage of this particular provision, then yes. Basically, what happens is they defer the taxes until next year. And that's where, you know, a lot of employers and employees have a lot of angst, right? Because, you know, those bills are going to come due at the very same time the Christmas bills are due and everything else. And then B, as an employer, you know, they don't know all the rules. So if an employee separates or goes somewhere else, is the employer on the hook for it? Those are the types of questions that haven't been answered yet.
Would everything that was deferred between now and the end of the year have to be paid right after the beginning of the new year?
That's right.
It would.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that their guidance, so to speak, is that it's due, you know, by March, February, March timeframe. But can I just say one other thing? I just think this is such a bad idea for another reason, which is that this is the money that goes into the Social Security and Medicare trust funds, which are already kind of shaky. So whenever you divert the stream from those trust funds, you know, the actuaries, the people who actually try to figure out how do we lengthen the time of these trust funds, go nuts. They basically say, look, you're depleting the trust fund much faster than we had anticipated. And so that's another bad reason, I think, behind this idea. If I were an employer, I think a lot of employers are not going to take advantage of it or not do that for their employees.
How would I know if my employer is going to do it? I mean, I don't get paid today, so maybe I should call HR, huh?
Yeah. It's interesting. A lot of employers are scrambling right now because the guidance was only issued, I think, on Friday night. And so they're literally scrambling right now to try to figure out how do we implement it if we decide to for payday.
But the idea is I can get you 6% more in your paycheck. We won't deduct for Social Security. And so everybody will have more money in their paycheck if an employer decides to no longer withhold it. And then, but then come after the turn of the year, whatever you weren't paying in will come due.
It's correct.
It's just a temporary forgiveness. It'll have to be paid back.
That's exactly right. I think the president is trying to spin it as, oh, well, maybe the next Congress will waive a portion of those deferred taxes. But that's just a hope on his part. And I don't think people are going to plan based on that.
Well, Raja, that wouldn't have been necessary if you guys would have done something about this to begin with. I mean, that's the president's stopgap shy of a stimulus or a supplement.
I think you're absolutely right that we have to do something right away. I think it's ridiculous that something hasn't been done. We've talked about this before. We have to get another round of stimulus checks. We have to get some enhanced unemployment insurance. I'm getting calls already about this. People can't make do on the regular unemployment given the extra expenses right now with school. Remember, most students are at home. If people are going to work, they need child care, or if they're looking for work, they need additional child care expenses, et cetera. And so these are the types of things that we should just be practical about and just come to a solution on right away.
Well, it seems to me like both sides are playing chicken here, Congressman, because my understanding is that the Republicans would have been agreeable to a week-by-week or month-by-month extension, but Nancy Pelosi said, no, we think we can leverage this president in the Congress because, well, I'm not exactly sure why, but the Democrats were not agreeable to a weekly or monthly extension of these benefits. The Republicans would have gone along with that. So now we got nothing.
They proposed to extend it by 1 week, John, and you can ask every state unemployment insurance system in the country, regardless of whether they're Democrats or Republicans, is this even workable? And the answer is no. They need literally months to be able to have something in place. We know the hiccups that already were in place, here in Illinois, just getting the system up and running for a 6 or 7 month time period. But the other thing, John, which is really the heart of the issue, which the president will not relent on, is aid to states and local governments. Again, we are just getting relentless number of calls from Republicans, Democrats, Independents at these different villages and other places, basically saying, look, our sales tax revenue's dried up. If we don't get any kind of assistance, we're going to have to lay off, those public safety officers and others that we rely on to combat the pandemic. And so this is a real issue that if we don't deal with, it's going to cause even further layoffs, service interruptions, and God forbid, in some places, increases in taxes and fees, which I think is unacceptable, completely unacceptable in this economy.
It was either Jared Kushner or Don Jr. tweeted recently that if all of those people can riot, and you saw a picture of a protest, then you can vote in person. What's your response to that?
Well, gosh, I think that's one of those statements that doesn't make sense, because the people that are most wanting to use mail-in voting are the most vulnerable among our population, namely seniors, people who are immunocompromised, and other folks. And I think that saying that kind of really ignores the real need to keep these people safe. And by the way, John, they're Democrats, they're Republicans, they're everybody, depending on where you are. They really want this mail-in voting to happen without a hitch.
I do, because I'm voting that way this year for the first time, and my polling place is a short walk from my door. It takes me 2 minutes to vote, but I'm like, okay, let's see how this goes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Can I just say one thing on that, which is mail-in voting is very secure. I would only say, based on what I could tell, talking to the Postmaster General and others at the USPS, is please apply if you intend to mail your vote in. Apply for that vote sooner rather than later, so you get the ballot sooner rather than later, and then you can make your decisions as soon as you're ready. Send it in. In Illinois, you can send it in as early as September 24th. So we have the ability to vote securely and safely, but just make a plan.
Good to talk to you, Congressman. Thanks for your time.
Yes, sir. Yes,
Congressman
sir. Same
Rajah
here.
Krishnamurthy is the Democrat from the 8th Congressional District out of Schaumburg.